Professor Claremont.
I squeaked it out before the words caught in the back of my throat, and I quieted the urge to run screaming toward the exit.
We've not met,
he continued in an oddly accented voice. It was mostly Oxbridge, but had a touch of softness that I couldn't place. His eyes, which never left my face, were not actually dark at all, I discovered, but dominated by dilated pupils bordered with a gray-green sliver of iris. Their pull was insistent, and I found myself unable to look away. The vampire's mouth was moving again.
I'm a great admirer of your work.
My eyes widened. It was not impossible that a professor of biochemistry would be interested in 17th-century alchemy, but it seemed highly unlikely. I picked at the collar of my white shirt and scanned the room. We were the only two in it. There was no one at the old oak card file or at the nearby banks of computers. Whoever was at the collection desk was too far away to come to my aid.
I found your article on the color symbolism of alchemical transformation fascinating, and your work on Robert Boyle's approach to the problems of expansion and contraction was quite persuasive.
Claremont continued smoothly, as if he were used to being the only active participant in a conversation.
I've not yet finished your latest book on alchemical apprenticeship and education, but I'm enjoying it a great deal.
Thank you, I whispered. His gaze shifted from my eyes to my throat. I stopped picking at the buttons around my neck. His unnatural eyes floated back to mine.
You have a marvelous way of evoking the past for your readers.
I took that as a compliment, since a vampire would know if it was wrong. Claremont paused for a moment.
Might I buy you dinner?
My mouth dropped open. Dinner? I might not be able to escape from him in the library, but there was no reason to linger over a meal, especially one he would not be sharing, given his dietary preferences.